yells up, "How are you guys? It's good to be back. Even though you just heard me yesterday, last night." I wanted to talk about a couple things before I get into the couple stories that I picked up for tonight. I got some shit. Don't worry. It's about paranoia. Yes. Paranoia is the fear of something might. You're in an elevated state of worry because you fear something might happen or something has happened that could, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. Oh, is that somebody looking at me? Who's that? It's a real toxic. I guess paranoia is somewhat healthy in very small doses. Because you can't walk around the world just trusting that nothing will never happen and nobody is never after you. Okay, I get that. That's just being aware. That's awareness. Paranoid is awareness overdose times 10. To the point where it becomes lunacy, almost. And it opens up the door to give you a reason to be paranoid. Like, what are you scared of? What are you so scared of? That's from the out. People on the outside look at you when you act like they're out to get you. Like, yeah, like nobody's out to get you. Or girl. Nobody's. The majority of, okay, there are some scumbags out there. I'll give you that. There are some scumbags that will climb on your head to get 1 inch ahead of you. Or will do anything just for any reason, just to see somebody go down for fun. Do it for fun. That's possible. That's very possible and it happens every day. But we can't be allowed to live our lives just like worrying about the guy that's around the corner. You think he's following you and he just turns off to go into the bodega and you find out that he wasn't even fucking thinking about you in the first place. Yeah. Paranoia. I believe I've done no research. I want to get books on this first before I go off and and start trying to Wikipedia and all that bullshit. I mean, but paranoia is if I had to describe it, I would say short term. That's the short term. But paranoia is long term as a behavior. I would call it anxiety. Pandora is the Super Saiyan 1. Did I say Pandora? No, paranoia is Super Saiyan 1. Anxiety is like Super Saiyan 3. I mean, it's like Super Saiyan Blue. Yeah, because it's ongoing. It's always even when things are well, it's the constant fear that something is happening. That something is going to happen and nothing is wrong. It's the constant fear that something is wrong, but nothing is wrong. Now, anxiety, which differs from paranoia, paranoia is 100, I believe it's mostly mental, which affects your emotional state. But anxiety is much stronger in the way that it affects not only your mental and emotional state, it could break you down physically. Yeah. You can stress causes a lot of stuff. It puts a lot of stress on your mind, A lot of stress on your mind puts a lot of stress on your body. Listen to me. I need to put one of them couches in the notebook. Get me a funny pair of glasses, and a plaid sweater. Some penny loafers with no socks. And hey, sit down on Avery's couch. Tell me what's wrong. No, I'm nowhere near that, and I do not plan to be. Watching people, reading about people, seeing people on the television is just like, it's starting to really interest me. And like, what the fuck were you thinking? That's the question. That's what interests me. That's what I want to know. That's what I always wanted to know. And I look, and thinking back, I've always had this since I was young. Now I'm just fucking like, it's starting to come to the surface where I can't deny that this is something that interests me. Yes. Woo! How's that for a monologue? Up first. Close these fucking windows. God damn, what the hell are you doing? Alright. Sometimes you gotta chastise yourself. That did not sound right. Don't take that the wrong way. Teacher disarms sixth grade school shooter. Hugs her until police arrive. Didn't this just happen? When was this? Hold on, are they fucking recycling stories? Get the hell out of here. My memory is sharp. Yeah, I do feel like that's I'm not doing this story, but oh, it's like an update. A teacher, and hey, I could be wrong. That's why I don't read ahead. Maybe sometimes, most times it's good that I read ahead. Most times it's good that I don't read ahead. But in very few cases, sometimes it is. I like things to be authentic. A teacher in Idaho has spoken about how she managed to disarm a sixth grade girl who had open fire at her school, because the first story was about what happened, but this is from the teacher's point of view. Okay. And it takes a big heart. It takes a big heart to do what this lady did. Had open fire at her school and disarmed her and hugged her until the police arrived. Krista Knighting teaches math at Rigby Middle School, around 15 miles northeast of Idaho Falls. I have no idea where that is. Said she had heard gunfire down the hall from the classroom where she was preparing students for exams around 9 a.m. on May 6th. Knighting looked outside. I hope I'm saying her name right. She did such a brave thing. Knighting looked outside her classroom and saw the school janitor lying on the floor. Damn, the young girl clapped the janitor? The janitor's supposed to be the most badass out the whole school. The janitor is the one that did the hard time. Nah, the janitor is still supposed to be the one that noted, like, yeah, that came up rough. Jesus, she clapped the janitor. After shutting the door, she told ABC News she had instructed her students, "You're going to run hard, you're not going to look back, and now is the time to get up and go." Yeah, she told her students that. Wow, as she helped one of the student victims, she saw a girl holding a gun and had to think quickly. Yo, at that point, you don't know if it's a man shooting or you're expecting to see like an adult you're expecting to see a fucking adult, and everything clears out, and you see it's just a little girl. God, man. It was a little girl, and my brain couldn't quite grasp that. Yes! I knew when I saw the gun, I had to get the gun. She said she asked the girl if she was the shooter and walked up to her, putting her hand over her hand. I just slowly pulled the gun out of her hand, and she allowed me to. Nighty said, she didn't give it to me. She didn't give it to me, but she didn't fight. Once she had the firearm, Nighty pulled her into a hug because I thought this little girl has a mom somewhere that doesn't realize she's having a breakdown and she's hurting people. Oh my God, dude. What caused that little girl to do that? That she knows that, what the hell was I doing when I was 6? I was fucking 30. I was playing in fucking mud. She said the girl started talking to her, and during their conversation, I managed to calm down. I just kept hugging her and loving her and trying to let her know that we're going to get through this together. The police arrived. Teacher explained to the child that she would have to be handcuffed. Oh my God. The officer who did this is a very, yeah, it was very gentle and kind. They gotta help you. Yeah, like, yo. Oh, could it be an episode of Cops where they just come in and just tackle a poor girl? Get on your back, yeah. Walk backwards to my voice. This is fucked up. I'm just trying to make light of a fucked up story, man. Like, come on. It can't be gloomy the whole time. Like, yeah, parents at the school have held Nighty's compassion, saying her actions saved lives. Michael Lemon, trauma medical director at Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. God damn! Longer than a Spanish name. Beat that! Said it was an absolute blessing that the three victims had non-life-threatening injuries. Yeah, Jesus, man. I hope that girl is okay, man. I really do. Because whatever she was going through, that at 6 years old, she felt like she had to come to school and do that. That's something, that's going to need some, I don't know, therapy, maybe? But if something is ingrained in somebody so early as 6 years old, can they really therapy it out? I don't know if that's a phrase. Can they really therapy it out? Who knows? Wow. That was a doozy to start off. Believe that. To think I wasn't going to do the story. That lady's a goddamn hero. Nighting? I'll take a sip. Who are you? Imagine seeing your gangster ass janitor on the floor bleeding out. And you think, yo, if he got fucked up, how bad is the person that fucked him up? And you look down the hall, it's a little 6-year-old girl. Does he lose all credibility after that? Or is it just one of those things where it'd be like, yo, even the best, even the best could get it on the worst day. Holy smokes. Yeah. Ex-Green Berets jailed in bungled Venezuela coup. May have been duped, negotiator says. I'm itching to hear about this. Two former Green Berets jailed in Venezuela for last year's botched coup are not mercenaries, may have been duped, and should be shown leniency in the Maduro regime, said a prominent private negotiator seeking to win their case. The Green Berets are innocent of the crimes they are charged with. They were not mercenaries. They were not part of an invasion, said former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, who was working with the families of Luke Denman and Aaron Barry to win their release. What are you doing in Venezuela? when you know that it's tense for Americans to be in Venezuela. There was a story a few years back where a guy went to marry, he found a girl in Venezuela, I don't know why, online, and they started out, she was teaching him Spanish, and they developed an online relationship, and he ended up going down there to try to get her to marry her, like they got married or whatever. They didn't get married right away, but he went down there with her. And they ended up getting locked up for like, oh my God, they locked them up and they locked both of them up just because he was American. And if you think jails here are bad, that story, oh, I can't remember it to save my life. But they ended up getting them back. I think this wasn't Maduro. This might have been Chavez. Was the president. They ended up getting him back, and they ended up getting married and stuff like that. It was a fucked up. All the stories fucked up. If I remember it, I'll post it to my Twitter page, but it was on a podcast. Like, yeah, oh, they treated him horribly. He was in there like, yeah, for really no reason, just visiting. And so what the fuck was these two idiots down there? You're Green Berets. You should know when to not stick your head out of the fucking foxhole. The two men hired by the Florida security firm Silvercore USA might have been duped, suggested Mr. Richardson, a former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who has successfully won the release of captives across the globe through his nonprofit Richardson Center in Santa Fe, New Mexico. What? They were training Venezuelans, no question, on the border, but they were under contract to train Venezuelans in Colombia. Oh, see? They don't, you know, we have a fucked up, with Colombia, we have a fuck, I mean, with Venezuela, we don't have a very good, it's complicated. We're in bed together, but we sleep ass cheek to ass cheek. That's the best way to explain it, yo. They never intended to cross the border themselves. They were not part of any invasion. They both end up in Venezuela. Maybe somebody sold them out. We have been trying to get a full stronghold on their oil for years, I think since before Chavez. We've been trying to get a strong because we have had for years something with them because Venezuela is an oil-rich country, right? But we're so fucking greedy that just us like, yo, Citgo Oil, okay, a U.S. oil company, became Venezuela's lifeline, and I don't believe that at all, not for one bit, is one-sided. For years, the embattled Venezuelan government has had, and they've had a bad economy, it's no lie, has had a surprising economic lifeline. A company called Citgo that owns three oil refineries and oversees a nationwide network of pipeline and oil and gas stations in the United States. Okay. That's cool. Citgo has long been a subsidiary of PDVSA, the Venezuelan state oil company. Right? So we're in bed with them. Like, we're basically what we're doing for them is we take the heavy crude oil from Venezuela. Yeah, that's the 100% pure coke. Then refine it, we cut it. And we put it out on the streets through all our gas stations. Basically, we hustle it for them. Basically, and America is so fucking greedy that we want to send people in there. We want to negotiate. We want to do everything. We want to diplomacy and all this shit. We want full control over the fucking source, the crude oil. We want to get in there. We want to put somebody in there That's going to give us control of the pure crude oil. So it's not wrong for, it's not wrong for them to lock up two ex-Green Berets for allegedly staging a coup, paranoia. Why? Because there's a history of it. So, see? In small doses, it's smart. I mean, yeah. Paranoia. Yeah. In small doses, it keeps you on your toes. Because it could have very well been somebody staging. And who knows? For all we know, they could have really been working to stage a coup. Because I think they've been trying to get Maduro out of there. Like, basically, America wants to only have work in countries where they have people that follow them. There can be no dissension. There can be no disagreements. Yeah, through this, cash will be provided for Venezuela's political elite. Yeah, I went off on a tangent. But you get the point. I had a point to make. I made it. Boom! Yeah. Back to the story. They arrived in Venezuela with their passports and shorts and sandals. That's not what Green Berets will wear for an invasion. No, but if I wanted to blend in to cause a coup, I would look as normal as possible, wouldn't I? Yeah. More likely, they thought they were leaving Colombia to go back home. They also believed their contract to train Venezuelans was approved by the U.S. government to say anything once they slap the cuffs on you. Get the fuck out of here. Maybe they were there for a training exercise. Maybe they won't. Maybe they weren't. I would more likely believe that they were there to... I'm leaning on the side of there was some shady shit going on. Yeah, because we'll... Right about now, we look like we're horse for oil. Come in with flip-flops and shorts. Who cares? When you get over there, whoever's part of the coup can give you whatever you need. Uniforms, weapons, bulletproof vests, whatever. Probably weapons that we gave to them. To help them take down the fucking government that hasn't fucked with us for like so long. Moving on. Oh god. Oh shit. Mom allegedly suffocated son because he was sorting a fare. Now she's accused of murder for hire plot. What the fuck was she? The fuck was she doing? How was he? First off, how was your son thwarting an affair? He's cock blocked. Was he cock blocking? Did he tell your husband? What are you doing bringing niggas around, fucking people around your fucking boy, your son, your kids anyway? If you really want to have an affair, you take that shit out of fucking town to a fucking motel room. Take that shit to the Rusty Nail. No, don't take that shit to the Rusty Nail. Because when you come back with bed bugs, when you come back with bed bugs, your husband gonna be like, "Well, where the fuck were you?" God damn. Now she's accused of murder for hire plot. A jailed New Jersey woman, Jersey. Awaiting trial on accusations, she smothered her 17-month-old son back in 2018. Oh my god, she did that over some dick? She killed her fucking, her one-year-old? It's 1 year old, not 17 months. Who wrote this shit? Chris Harris. It's 1 year old, not 17 months. Back in 2018, is facing new charges this week after investigators allege they discovered a murder-for-hire plot she hatched. Oh, adorable little boy. Come on, man. Damn. A statement from the Camden County Prosecutor's Office does not detail the specific plot or identify the person Heather Reynolds allegedly wanted to kill. Heather Reynolds, 43. Okay. The statement alleges that Reynolds. There's a lot of allegations in this shit. Where's the facts, baby? That make me want to get a fucking press pass and just go like investigate and shit. Like, Reynolds allegedly plotted the hit with her 44-year-old boyfriend, Jeffrey Callahan. Jeffrey! She was fucking cheating on you the whole time. You're gonna help her kill somebody? You fucking tender dick-ass motherfucker? Yeah, I use motherfucker. I don't care. I don't care. It fits in this case. Old tender dick ass Jeffrey. Callahan was arrested on Wednesday and charged with one count of first degree conspiracy to commit murder. On Thursday, Reynolds learned that she too now faces the same charge. I have to say it like that. Neither defendant has entered pleas to the new charge they face. Yeah, Reynolds has been in the Camden County Jail since 2019 on charges of murder, endangering the welfare of a child, possession of methamphetamines, meth, our good old friend meth. It's never too far away. Who's doing meth in Camden? How is that shit so popular on the fucking East Coast? Like, where crack is so abundant, meth is cheaper. That's all it is. It's cheaper. That's what it really comes down to. It's cheaper than cocaine. And hindering its support, it was called the poor man's cocaine. That's all it was. The poor man's crack, poor man's cocaine. That's what it was called. That's why, like, you see so many people on it, because it's easy. It's, first off, it's easy to make. It's kind of, I don't know. Fuck that. And hindering apprehension, all in connection with the May 10th, 2018 death of her son. You don't need to know his name. You can find her. She pleaded not guilty to those charges. Yeah, that's the meth. Yeah. Once the courthouse said she pleaded not guilty, they probably was like, yeah, she has a drug problem. That's her. That's it. That's the characteristics. Investigators alleged that Reynolds, that's the symptoms of methamphetamine addiction. Investigators alleged that Reynolds suffocated the child, but I don't want to hear about that. Come on. She ran from her Gloucester Township home. I'm done. Yeah, I'm done with this story. I'm not reading the book. You don't need the gory details. The fun parts are over. For the story. Who wants? I don't want to hear about it. Damn. What the fuck? Now that's drugs. So for like, I understand it. It's a fucking addiction. You're addicted to something, and something is keeping you away from what makes you feel good. Like, I can understand it. I can partially understand it. And she was having an affair. She was about to get that. She was about to get her husband to kill somebody. Yo, the murder for hire plot was probably on him. Yeah. Hey, baby, you get rid of this loser. And we can screw and smoke meth until the cows come home. Sounds good to me, she all smoked out. That's how I would believe. Yeah, that I would like, yeah, I think that's how it would play out. Yeah. And a meth-induced high. This man that she's messing with, or woman, possibly, who knows? Hey, I'm equal opportunity. This man or woman that she was screwing around with on her husband probably proposed that we kill him and we can just smoke meth and live happily ever after. Or until our teeth fall out, whichever comes first. What we won't do, do for love, do for meth. You smoked everything, but you want his death. California woman Sheila Dunlap charged in alleged scheme to steal. We need to get some, what the fuck? I need a thesaurus. Because I'm about to start editing these people's shit. Because, well, I get what the term alleged means. It's keeping you from outwardly accusing somebody for something that hasn't quite yet been found guilty yet. And which avoiding a chance for them to sue you for slander or libel. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, alleged is just another way of covering your ass to say, like, yeah, an alleged scheme to steal $145,000 in stimulus checks. Stimmies? Yo, you know what? I can't say shit because, yo, I done did, like, two or three stories where people was buying Lamborghinis with the money, was bought with relief money or something. They was doing something of the same way. Now, I mean, this might be considered small potatoes to the people who actually got away with it and is still living. Like, first off, I don't know. Don't buy two Lamborghinis if you get. Yeah. I was going to tell you a story. And even though that it was like over a certain time ago, I choose not to. Hey, man, you can't give them all away. But it did involve a man. No, I'm good. A California woman is facing multiple. Hit my Twitter page if you want to find the story. Maybe not. I don't know. Call me? No. I don't know. Get Nextel Motorola, you can chirp me about it. A California woman is facing multiple federal felony charges after allegedly conspiring to steal over $145,000 worth of $1,200 stimulus checks last year. God damn, ambitious? My type of girl. Sheila Delise Dunlap, auntie, 50. Allegedly claimed 121 of the economic impact payments between March 20th and July 2020. He was moving too fast. Shorty was supposed to get it in bits. According to a third, please don't do that, people. According to a Thursday release from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of California, Dunlap of Modesto is said to have conspired with their son while he was locked up at San Quentin State Prison. Jesus. Anytime an inmate can't plan nothing with an inmate if you're on the streets. Like, what the fuck is that? The plot allegedly involved Dunlap's son supplying her with the personal information of his fellow prisoners and others. Oh, shit. With the third person helping to send her a spreadsheet containing information for 9,043 individuals in April 2020. Oh, the mother and son are said to have coordinated the scheme using phone calls and text messages. Why? Feds say the youngest victims were targeted first because I guess they're going to claim them. Yeah, holy shit. Since they were most likely to be non-filers, oh yeah, people that's not going to file, therefore have income low enough to qualify for the checks. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security CARES, what the fuck, Act provided the full 1,200 $1,000 economic impact and payments to individuals making $75,000 per year or less, with reduced amounts given to those making between $75,001 and $99,000. If you're making $99,000, then you don't need a fucking stimulus check, I guarantee you. The first five payments were electronically deposited in Dunlop's bank account, which don't use your fucking account. I mean, like, yeah. On March 28th, one day after the CARES Act was signed into law by former President Donald Trump, she allegedly withdrew the money immediately, spending the $6,000 on herself. Rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. You seen good, fellas. Tim Conway was like, no big purchases. And that bitch came in with that fucking mink and rode in on that Cadillac. And it's like, hey, you take that shit back. Now I'm going to have to catch some bodies for this shit. You don't spend the money right away. You fucking, first off, what you do is you don't take it out in chunks. Know what I mean? And you don't use your own account. And you just take out like a little bit at a time and have cash, because you can't track cash. Do whatever you gotta do to turn whatever the hell this shit was into cash. Please don't do this. I hate when I gotta tell you how to do that. But it's interesting. Going on to claim a total of $145,200 in fraudulent payments. She was charged with one count of wire fraud conspiracy and one count of aggravated identity theft. If convicted on both charges, she could face a combined prison sentence of 22 years and a fine of $500,000. You should have went for a brand mate. God damn. Wow. 50. I don't know. 50. You go in jail at 50, you come out 22 years, you'd be 72. Hey, you might be like 68. As long as you keep your figure, baby, you know, I might hook back up with you. God damn, yo. Like, what make, I don't know. It's just that when you're in a system that fucks you over, that fucking just really fucks you over, when you see a chance to get a little bit back, you know, like it's almost like you can't turn it down. When you see an opportunity to like send a little to just get something back, at least just to score a W. You know what I mean, put a win on the board. And I get it. I do get it. Damn it, baby. You were supposed to get that shit. You were supposed to have cash and not your account. Moving along. Tiger King's Jeff and Lauren Lowe have nearly 70 big cats seized from their Oklahoma zoo. Thank God. They're like the parents on the block who you know they shouldn't have kids. But the wife stay fucking pregnant. This one says 70. Other articles says 68. So like somewhere around 60, 70, like. What are you doing? And we should not be allowed to have these fucking big ass fucking lions anyway. They should be in zoos. They should be in, I believe, not even in zoos. They should be in fucking wildlife refuges. They should be in refuges. You build a fucking wildlife refuge for these cats. Yeah. Not even in a zoo. They need plenty. These lions, these cats, these big cats, because I did an article about, well, I had an article about tigers. Said there were more tigers in the U.S. than anywhere in the world now. Like, and that's fucking ridiculous. What are we doing? Let's build, we got tons of open land. We got land. Like, shit, stop using it for fucking nuclear testing. And let's build a couple fucking encampments for these cats so they can, like, so they could build the numbers back up. You're holding on to endangered species. It's just fucked, man. Like, I don't get it. More than 5 dozen big cats were seized by federal authorities during a raid at an Oklahoma zoo belonging to Jeff and Lauren Lowe, officials announced on Thursday. Yeah, okay. The couple who appeared in Netflix's docuseries Tiger King, You Fucking Weirdos. I didn't even know he had a wife because I didn't watch the series. He just looks like a fucking weirdo. It looked like a waste of whatever, however long it ran for. Tiger King Park in Thackerville, Oklahoma. Jesus Christ. According to Thackerville, where the fuck is that? 68 protected lions, tigers, lion-tiger hybrids, and a jaguar were seized in a raid. Get that shit back, man. Officials have conducted 3 inspections on the zoo since December 2020, during which the Lowe's received citations for failing to provide the animals with adequate or timely veterinary care, appropriate nutrition, and shelter that protects them from inclement weather. See, yeah, man. Like, you can't, that shit costs so much money, you can't even take care of these motherfuckers. Especially, if you're getting funding, if you found some type of way to get funding and the government is giving you money to take care of these animals because of some type of endangerment act or whatever the case may fucking be, they're going to be up your ass every day. That's like when you live under your fucking mom's roof, she could walk in your room at any given time. We're giving you money for this shit. We want to make sure you're goddamn spending it well. Damn, what a fucking idiot. Yo, these animals are not meant to be in captivity, man. They are not, man. Why do you think that no matter how long you keep a tiger, how long you keep a lion in captivity, you can have it as a cub. And if for one second it thinks that you're weak enough for you to pounce on it or you're doing something to fuck with it, it'll fuck you up, slash you right across the face and bite you across the neck and drag you off somewhere. Like, these things are meant to be in the wild. So we need to be, like, protecting these things from hunters. And, yeah, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. I don't get it. Alaska man survives near deadly encounter with a brown bear that bit his head. Another one. Yo, bears are different, yo. Like, bears. Because a bear, they say, like, a bear, his sense of smell is, like, 100 times stronger than a fucking bloodhound's. Like, so, if you're anywhere where a bear thinks that it's his fucking territory, and it is, rightfully so, as soon as you step foot, he smells you already before you even seen him. He or she, the bear, already knows where you are before you even, like, step foot into it. Smells you. Like, so before you even see the bear, it already knows that you're there. An Alaska man was able to bind up his wounds and call 911 after being mauled by a brown bear that bit him multiple times on the road. It was giving him a taste. Alan Minish, 61, was conducting a land survey near Golconda when he unknowingly walked up on an adult brown bear. This ain't Yogi. I ain't Yogi. Bring that ass over here. Minish will let me get a taste. Minish was alone and about half mile from the road when the bear charged him. Damn, all of a sudden I looked up and about 30 feet away there was a nice sized brown bear. And it looked at me and it came at me and I thought, great. Minish tried to take shelter behind some shrubs, but they didn't provide any protection. He fell backwards as the bear approached him and grabbed its lower jaw to try to keep it from biting. Oh my god. Because if you grab a dog's lower jaw, it can't bite you. Yeah, you thought so. You thought. So I got a hole punched in my hand with his molar, but he couldn't close his mouth. All he did was scratch my hand with his upper one. Wow. But the bear shook his head and knocked his hand away. These aren't your average bear. He's not looking for picnic baskets, man. When he did that, he lunged, grabbed my head, took the first bite, relaxed. He wanted to taste the he has an earthy tone to his head. What is this, the it's an earthy tone. And that's when he cracked all the bones in part of my head. Damn. The bear let him go, and Minish rolled on the ground trying to protect his face and held with his arms until it left. Damn. He used his t-shirt and surveyor's vest to try to stop the bleeding from his head, but still had the white blood out of his eyes and off his phone to call for help. Why are you out there alone? Bear country. In fucking bear country. Why are you out there alone? Troopers and local fire and rescue personnel were able to locate Minish and take him to the Alaska Pipeline Road, according to dispatch. A medical crew redid his bandages there and took him to the Golconda Airport. I would have quit after that shit. He was from either that or I would have asked for some fucking money. Give me some fucking hazard pay and give me some something. Yeah, you're going to hit me. Like, yeah. And you're paying for this hospital bill. He was flown to Providence, Alaska Medical Center in Anchorage, which was about 70 miles away. A hospital spokesperson said Minish was in good condition. He's not in good condition. A bear bit him in the head twice. He's not in good condition. Damn. He had trouble sleeping Tuesday. I would too. Yeah, because he was thinking about the mauling, but told KTUU that he's trying to stay in good spirits. And even jokes with the nurses. He's fucking delirious. He's on drugs. It's not as yo. I'm trying to keep it upbeat, which is good, and not wallowing penny. I'm joking. I'm fucking kidding. That he's in good spirits. The bear left the area and was not found. Damn. There are no efforts underway to locate the bear in this incident. They act like the bear stole his wallet and knocked him over the head. They act like the bear bugged them. Like you're not in the bear's fucking domain. Like, what the fuck you doing out there alone? It was just the wrong place, wrong time for me and the bear. Like the bear caught him in an alleyway and pulled the switchblade out on him. And everything happened so fast. Jesus Christ. Yeah. He wanna act like the bear fucking mugged him. Like, dog. The bear like, yo, you in my neighborhood, you must be fool. You not another bear. Shit, you must be fool. Let's see. Alright, this is my last story. It's been fun. ...56-year-old woman arrested for bank robbery. New Rochelle, PD. New Rochelle, New York. Auntie out here robbing shit. Said, I'm about to take it back to how I used to do back when I was young. A young jitterbug. Cops responding to bank robbery in progress. Called discovered the suspect still on the scene when they arrived. She couldn't run. Hip gave out. I don't know. I really don't know if that's what happened. Hip gave out. The robbery at the Chase Bank at 270 North Avenue. Why rob a shitty bank like Chase? Yeah, I said it. Took place shortly before 10 a.m. on Thursday. Mary Thompson handled a teller note reading, "Give me $100,000. I have a gun." Oh, shit. She did the old fucking hand in the hoodie trick. Like, she took it back. The 56-year-old suspect fled the bank with approximately $7,000 in cash, well short of her expected haul. According to authorities, officers who were already nearby said the would-be heist was quickly foiled without further incident, and Thompson was taken into custody. She is now facing a single robbery count. Jesus Christ, it's times is getting bad when old ladies, not old ladies, 56 is not old. 50 is not old, really. It is not. When that's distress. That's like distress signal on the economy when people feel like that's their option. That's their last option is to just go for it all or nothing. We gonna win big or we just gonna yeah. Damn, that's fucked up, man. It's fucking hilarious though. I ain't gonna lie. That being said, I'm going to wrap this up. Thanks for tuning in. If you fucks with the show, reach out to me on Twitter at RYEZSHYNE. Rise and shine. Instagram, TacoMeat05. Facebook, Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson. My picture popped right up. Hit me on Messenger or whatever. If you got a podcast, let me know. If you do a show, let me know. I'll listen to these shits. That's all I do at work. I like to switch them around. I like to hear different things. Just reach out to me. Love you guys. Don't rob any banks. Don't give out. Don't get bit in the head by any bears. Don't let any bears use you for a taste test at Costco, like an hors d'oeuvre on a toothpick. Amen. And I'll talk to y'all very, very soon. Adios.